Hello everyone and welcome to the 15th episode of the Choking Hazard podcast, which has been a nightmare to get started. This is the third, fourth time that we do. We've had so many issues starting this podcast, but I'm here with my usual co-hosts, Sugarfree Noss.
Hello.
And RDT.
Sup.
We have been talking for the last 5 or so minutes to nobody because I forgot to start the stream.
It was
one hell of a choke, I've got to say. And our guest has been talking about what he's doing, which he's going to have to repeat now, and me talking about what we've been doing. So, yeah, we've said all this before, but we're going to just have to go through it again. So in this episode, we are going to talk about the Smuggler's Run DLC, which has just been announced, our expectations about it, what we think it's going to be all about. This episode should be going up the day before it gets released on YouTube, so hopefully it will, you know, give a good little bit of insight into our expectations or lack thereof for this new DLC. But our guest this evening is a man who has been part of our community for a long time, and he has a very, very interesting job, which is kind of related to what we do here. We're getting relating to cars and motorsport and all that kind of stuff. So our guest is Andy P 297. Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. Thanks for being on the show. I lost my words this time. Before we get into the GTA DLC, let's give us a quick rundown of what you do in your line of work, and then we'll come on to it in more of a discussion after we've gone over the DLC.
Yep, so I work for Jaguar Land Rover, as many other people do where I live also work for them. But what makes me a little bit different is I work for Special Vehicle Operation, which is the very top end of Jaguar Land Rover. There is nothing higher in Jaguar Land Rover itself. So we produce vehicles such as the Special Vehicle Autobiography for Range Rover. We also do Special Vehicle Autobiography Dynamic, which you would have seen in the press recently with the boxer Anthony Joshua taking delivery of one. Also, we do the armored Range Rovers, which not the type of thing you're thinking that are military. They look like a normal Range Rover, but in actual facts, they're bombproof and bulletproof. So they're called the Range Rover Sentinel. Also, to come out of where I work was the F-Type Project 7s. And most recently announced is the XE Project 8, which is coming very soon, I believe, which I know was showcased at the Goodwood Festival of Speed. But previously to working at Jaguar Land Rover, I worked for Aston Martin for 5 years, working at their global headquarters in Gaydon. So I worked in the very heart of manufacturing around all the cars. So anything from 2002, any Aston Martin from 2002 you've seen would have come out of the Gaydon headquarters, including they're still produced there today. That's worldwide. There is no other Aston Martin factory. So yeah, it was interesting. Very interesting.
So we're probably going to have plenty of questions and stories for you, because that's an interesting line of work, especially Aston Martin and you know, the top level of cars and things like that. And I understand there's some James Bond stories going on as well. So we'll get on to that. First of all, though, recently just announced today, just before we were recording this, was the Smuggler's Run DLC for GTA. I'm going to hold off my thoughts, I think. Yay!
Woo.
Are we going to have tiny racers for planes, tiny flyers?
Then we gotta do it on stream again.
No. I'm gonna hold off with my thoughts. You guys tell me your thoughts first.
I mean, Rockstar made the original Smuggler's Run, right?
That's their game. That's
I mean, I loved Warzone. That was one of my favorite games as a kid. So the idea is really nice to me, but I know it's just gonna be another gun running, another bikers thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing again for the fourth time. Again,
this month
I've lost my entire soul with this game. I just can't do it anymore.
It seems like every single time, and we made this mistake again with gun running, or at least I did, that we go into it with expectations that, oh, this one might be different. There might actually be something to do. There might
we're battered housewives. That's what we are, battered housewives.
That, yeah, there might It'll be missions. There might be something to do with these Konyo vehicles, and it's the same old story. You buy a warehouse, you do all this stupid stuff that's all exactly the same.
He won't hit me this time. Hey, we could go on this trip. He won't hit me. He hits you. That's the spoiler alert.
He hits you a lot.
And just like the abusive husband, Rockstar produces the same DLC again, which is probably going to happen. But there might be a Ford Escort, so there might be some redeeming quality to this DLC. One single car has given me hope. So hopefully. Hopefully that one car will be good.
Yeah, and you know you're going to have to wait 2 months before you get to drive it, right?
Don't talk to me. Let me have what little hope I can.
Drip feeding planes for 2 months.
Well, that's what I was saying. What price could they justify a Ford Escort at?
Any price these days. Yeah. And there are some people, it appears, having trouble watching it on Twitch. I'm watching the stream right now, as those who are watching live, I believe. Twitch are having some issues, but we're gonna muscle on because more people, I guess, watch and listen as well to the audio version. It'll be on YouTube, yeah. But just hold out, see if you can get it working on different quality sources or something like that. But Rockstar have gone so far with their drip feeding now of content that they've drip fed up until the next DLC. That is unprecedented. We've not seen that before.
It's impressive.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Normally, there's a gap. Like, they'll release the final thing after 8 weeks or so, and then there'll be a gap of a month or two before the next thing. But now, we got the final DLC vehicle, the Ardent. What was it? Has it been 2 months since Gun Running? I haven't even had a chance to do a Gun Running DLC discussion analysis
let's not
video.
Talk about the Ardent. I'll get triggered.
I will get triggered. I got triggered on Monday. On the stream, I'd started off put me on a bad road, but the Ardent was released last week, and then the following Tuesday, it's just a week after the final vehicle from the Gun Running DLC, we're gonna have the Smuggler's Run DLC. It's got ridiculous at this point.
Yeah,
I'm such a bold strategy. Love it and hate it so much.
You hate it as a consumer, but you love watching the craziness of it.
Just the balls that Rockstar has.
I will say that customizable and like a hanger for your airplanes and stuff has been something that's been like highly requested.
It has. So, yeah, I mean the Pegasus situation has never been something that people have enjoyed, and we've had the ability to put these weaponized vehicles in your regular garages, bigger garages, and now aircraft hangars, customizable planes and all this kind of stuff. So they have been doing generally the sort of things that people have asked for maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but unfortunately they're attacking on the need to buy shark cards with it as well, which is what ruins it completely. And Sexy's just brought me some tea. Thank you.
Oh,
right in the middle of the podcast.
Sexy cameo. it's the same old story. No thought going into the actual content of the DLC. Just more stuff to spend your money on.
That is our speculation. You never know. This could be the best DLC we've ever had.
Yep. It could be. But we said that about Gun Running. I said about Gun Running that, we might have these new missions involving these special vehicles that are on the level of heists or the heist setup missions, things like that. Don't. You're just like that woman who goes on the holiday and doesn't think she's going to get battered. You've just done it, Noss. I've lost all my hope at this point.
Andy, do you have any time for this game anymore? Do you have any...
I love GTA. It's still my favorite game now. I understand it's not what everybody wanted, and there's lots of problems with it, but it's still fun to play. I still enjoy playing it, and there's times where I'll go and play it for like 2 weeks solid again, and then I'll stop playing it for like another month, and then I'll come back. And I mean, the new DSL, I really like the look of all the cool planes and that. I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to that stuff as well. So seeing the planes, like planes and the cars, too. It's like
they do look cool. I've got to say,
they're all like related to history as well. So you can see like there's like the MiG-17 and that in there.
I recognise a few of them, which is really nice to see.
So it's going to be cool. And like Noss said, with the hangar you're going to have, that's going to be pretty cool to have like all your planes then displayed in that hangar.
And it's kind of cool. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah. It's like a garage. Yeah. But for the
you're going to need a small mortgage and shark cards for to probably purchase them all. So
that's the trouble. And then this was something that I said on Twitter when someone like spoke to me about it. Like I said, all the new planes look really cool, so I'm happy about it. And it's like, yeah, they are cool and they're nice to have, but what's the point if you can't do anything with them?
The map is so small, they're not entertaining. I mean, they've always done a good job with the vehicles. Like, even gun running, the vehicles are very cool and very fun. But
the vehicles are fantastic. Even from a programming standpoint, when it comes to racing, and the vehicles are being programmed very well, it's just they get put in the wrong class sometimes. But always the vehicles are quite
or get weaponized when there's no reason to be weaponized.
Yeah. Don't start me on with the Ardent.
I want to propose at the same time. A question to our little crew here. What do you guys think is the best DLC that has come out when it comes to cars? Like, what do you think the best cars for a DLC are? Came from
what? Just about cars, not relating to any other features from the DLCs.
Yeah, like what are your what do you think was the best batch of cars? Personally, for me, it was the I'm Not a Hipster update. I love all those cars. I think they're all awesome.
Yeah, there were a ton of cars in there.
Was that the Glendale and the Warner and stuff like that?
Yeah, Glendale, Blade, Warner, Manto. Yeah.
There were some good cars in that one. I think for me, it's probably Cunning Stunts because it is the racing DLC in my eyes. You know, the proper race cars that we had there. And I enjoyed the RE7B win in its OP form. It was how it should be. But yeah, I think Cunning Stunts, the cars I preferred, just because of the racing aspect.
I think I like the Cunning Stunts, but I think it changed everything so much, and I really enjoyed the cars before that, where it like a bit more raw. But when they started releasing like the racing cars and the rally cars, it seemed like they were trying too hard rather than just enjoying it.
I get what you mean. Like with GTA is not really meant to be a game where you have racing cars and rally cars and stuff.
I don't really like stunt races, and it's a real shame. I miss like the old races. You go around like the city and the everything like that. That was really good fun. And then the stunt races has changed things so much. Where I don't know. I find them a lot. The stunt races are so much more easier, and I'm hopeless at it. I mean, if you ever like in your streams and that, I'm always at the back. I can guarantee you I'm at the back. And I don't know, the stunt race has changed it. When you're playing public lobbies, they're just so much more easier, and it's just a lot less skill in them compared to the original races.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of miss. And now everyone plays those stunt races, and you get not many people playing the original ones. And, you know, it's just that's what makes the game more probably harder for me, in my opinion of it.
Yeah, I figured you would have said like Lowriders because of all the customization and design options.
No, I don't like that. I don't like people like when they modify their cars, like put a big exhaust on it and stuff like that. For me, it's got to come from the factory.
Yeah,
if it doesn't come from the factory, then I'm not interested.
I think the vehicles themselves from all the DLCs have been pretty good. Apart from, I can't remember which one it was, but. Was it the business update? Someone mentioned it in the chat where they had the multiple ballers and the multiple shafters. Was that the business?
Oh, yeah.
That one was the worst for me.
Yeah, that was awful.
That was just so lazy. The baller like five times over and the shafter five times over and the wrong classes and just... That was... But I think the older DLCs, to be honest, when you're looking back at, you know, mentioned in the chat, the High Life with the Turismo, the Alpha, the Jester... And then we had the update that had the Zentorno as well, and the Massacro, and then the Ill-Gotten Gains stuff with the T20 and the Osiris and the cars that were around with that. I think the older DLCs, the cars that came from them stand out more for me.
Yeah.
Until the Cunning Stunts when it was all race stuff.
I like the 900R,
T20 and the Osiris for me were probably my favorites, definitely. I think after that, it kind of went a bit weird.
Yeah. The 900R and the Sultan RS, which were
just came out of nowhere.
Two vehicles and that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
so surprising.
It was a 900R race car, basically. It was.
And they put them in the effing supercars class.
Yeah, and they put it in the supers. Simultaneously, a great day and a
face palm. Yeah. A collective face palm from everybody. But yeah, the vehicles have always been really good. It's just that with they've added more complex vehicles that are simultaneously more interesting, but also more useless because you can't use them for much. And that's the shame of it for me. Like, we're not getting any actual extra gameplay. It's just all about putting in as many vehicles that are fun and people want to buy as possible to sell the shark cards. And recycling the same sort of stuff that we've seen before with the newer DLCs, at least. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm not going into it with any expectations, to be honest. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave your expectations the day before this. Leave them in the comments the day before this goes. The DLC goes live.
And if you watch it after, and it's the greatest DLC of all time, just feel free to call us idiots. I know you're going to do that anyway, but
that's true.
Just say, wow. These guys are a bunch
Nobody watches this show anymore. No one's there to call us idiots. So.
Yeah, true.
Tiny flyers, I'm calling it now. Tiny flyers.
Tiny flyers.
Maybe not on the day that it's released, but at the same time frame as Tiny Races came out for the previous one. And Tiny flyers. I'm posting it. In fact, Rockstar probably watching this and they've thought, what a great idea. Let's get working on that immediately. All right, so let's get on to grilling Andy a little bit because you do have a very interesting job.
Main topic.
I understand from what you've said that you're not allowed to talk very much about what you're working on now with Jaguar Land Rover because it's all very top secret, the highest level of stuff, things like that. It's all secretive.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of more interested in your days at Aston Martin because I'm a huge James Bond fan. I love James Bond. The DB5 is one of my all-time favorite vehicles ever. So, you know, you've worked on a lot at Aston Martin. And am I right in saying that you've met Daniel Craig as well?
I did. He came round for a tour around the factory just before. I'm useless with the Bond film names, but the most recent one.
When we did
the DB10 for him and stuff, he came round to view the factory. And what was different with Daniel Craig is when he came out, he really wanted to talk to everyone. And usually when celebrities had come round, they kind of stay with their tour guide and they just stick to that. But Daniel Craig kind of came out and wanted to involve everyone, wanted to talk to everyone. And my story with that was I was actually stood by a car at the time and he came right out of the doors in front of us. And I was stood with a friend at the time. We were talking about the car. It was a funky color. And he came out and he was like, oh, you know, this color's different, guys. And I remember my friend saying something like, oh, you should get this for your wife or something like that. And he's like, oh yeah, he'd love it. And then he kind of like moved on, but it was like, oh, it's Daniel Craig. It's like, oh yeah,
just a random conversation whilst at work. Yeah. And it happened to be James Bond.
Yeah, it sounds like a diss. It sounded like your buddy was like dissing him. That was a weird color. Like, yeah, I bet your wife would like it, bro. Like, all right, relax.
It was a bright color, so it would be almost like a quite a feminine color. It was
okay. So what cars have you worked on? What at your time at Aston Martin? Any that like that really stand out over the years?
Probably my most favorite one, and it was my most favorite Aston Martin as well, was when I first started there. And when I first started, it was on the 177 project. So from literally, I went in as an agency worker as well and being told that, oh, you're going to work on this £1 million hypercar. and it was built in like a separate building and everything to the rest of the cars. And that was just that was incredible. I mean, the level of engineering that went into that was another level. And the car itself is absolutely incredible. If anyone's ever seen one in real life, photos just don't do it justice. It's an amazing looking car. And it sounds awesome as well. That's the 7-liter V12 just sounds incredible.
That's what intrigues me is all the sort of secretive nature of things, like and what you've got to do to be secretive, and I'm guessing it's very regimented on what you can and can't say, and you're told very clearly and specifically things like that as well. What's it like to work in an atmosphere like that? Because we've talked about this with Rockstar before. Like, it seems like Rockstar, at least with everything that they do, whether you're on the dev team or the community team, if you know something in advance, you are absolutely 100% not allowed to leak it whatsoever at the cost of, you know, your job and probably even worse things. You know, what's it like working in that kind of atmosphere?
It's where I've kind of like worked my whole now working life is in automotive. So it's just kind of come with the job knowing that you're working with sensitive information and you've got to just respect that, because at the end of the day, that's your job. If some of this information gets out, it can have a roll-on effect on everything. It has an effect on sales. So even working for these like massive, huge companies, it does have an effect. And I've known people to let information go they shouldn't have, and they've lost their job over it. And it's, you know, it's not nice. But it's something I don't really think about. Is that I'm very careful with what I say and when I talk about these things. But you just kind of got to respect it. It's just how it is. It's, you know, your job, you're always going to be representing the company. Of something they used to talk about a lot, Aston Martin, is that even when you're not at work, you're still representing the company. You know, like times like this, I don't work for Aston Martin anymore. But when people like find out, oh my God, you used to work for Aston Martin, you know, it's different. I mean, they've only got around 2,000 employees, where you look at that ratio with the Jaguar Land Rover at work in the same area, they've got 100,000 employees around. It's, you know, it's completely different. So when people hear that,
it's a much more exclusive club.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I think I used to remember, we used to always get the emails through Aston Martin. It used to say the company's been awarded the coolest place to work for the second or like third year running and stuff like that. It was like, yeah, cool. It's a bit, you know, it's different, but everyone that works in automotive world knows what goes on. So in the United Kingdom, we've got the likes of Bentley, McLaren, Rolls-Royce. So these are like the more premium brands, Lotus.
Yeah, pretty big, exclusive premium car makers.
Yeah. So, you know, we all know they all roughly work in the same kind of way. And yeah, it's fun.
It's kind of like a self-preservation sort of thing as well. Yeah. You know, it's not that even that you would necessarily straight away think that if you leak this information, you're going to lose your job. But on a further deeper level, if you leak this information, it might impact on the success of whatever it is you're working on, and that would actually lead to you not being as successful in whatever it is you were doing with your job. So it makes sense, actually.
I don't know, man.
The biggest thing with it is if you talk about like a new car, like, oh, well, there's this car coming out, it's absolutely amazing, it's going to replace this car. Well, the people that are in the market are now seeing, oh, actually, there's something even cooler and bigger coming. Why would I go and buy this car? Well, it's that current car which is funding the new
same
one.
With game companies and game consoles and all this kind of stuff.
It's the same, like you tie that into the DLC with GTA. You know, if they told you the best thing's coming at the end.
Well, that's what Rockstar do with their drip feeding. They wait for the XA21 for the last week or so, and they don't tell you about that beforehand.
Like a group like us, that's, you know, digging into this. They just hope that the people sat there playing the game and just want to play it and don't get into all social media stuff. That this one's come out, it's cool, buy it. Oh, this one's even better now, I'll buy that one. And
that's exactly how it works. And I think it's
just being like, you know, you look at Game of Thrones and they had all those leaked episodes, and then all of a sudden they've got the highest viewer numbers they've ever had.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You think
maybe
there's some
Andy
value to some leaks?
Maybe Andy, putting some in my DMs. That might. Just saying.
It feels like you're thinking about your personal improvement on this and what you can get out of it.
Never think about myself.
Oh, really? Everything that I know about you would make me suggest otherwise.
Whatever, man. That's your opinion.
Okay, cool, interesting. Do we have any other questions for Andy? And
yes. Do you have the document open, like a professional podcast host?
I don't have the document open.
Okay.
I don't need a document for questions. I was going to ask you about your eclipse trip, but if Andy has something else to talk about.
We are not done.
First.
He has been talking for 5 minutes.
I wanted
minutes.
To know.
I went to the mountains, and you're going to turn this man off of a conversation to hear about my mountains.
Shut up. I hate you so much right now.
You're okay.
I wanted to know what your opinion on like the cars in GTA are compared to the real life counterparts.
Yeah.
I mean, I know obviously you're going to think they're the cars in real life are the greatest. But still.
My experience with the cars. So I was never privileged enough to be able to drive the cars. You had to be an engineer to be able to experience the cars in full. That's the way like manufacturing automotive is regimented. You have to kind of stick with your job. You stay in your lane as such. And that's how it is. But I did... I did actually do a driving experience where I got to drive 5 different supercars, and one of them included a V8 Vantage. The other 4 was a Lamborghini, Ferrari, an Audi R8, and a Porsche GT3. Now, I was going there expecting that. I wasn't going to be that interested in the Aston. I was like, I see them all the time, whatever. I was looking forward to the Ferrari and the Lamborghini. Now, the Ferrari and Lamborghini were the worst. I did not enjoy them at all. My favorite was the Porsche, because it was like a little go-kart. It was so fast, and it just went, and you could throw it around corners, and it was such good fun.
I've often heard that about Porsches, like with the rear engine, rear wheel drive, they are like big
go-karts. I love Porsches. They're my favorite. And then the V8 Vantage came in second, because it felt like a really good solid car that you could put around a track, and it was good fun. And then it was like the Audi R8, but that was like really electrical. And it just felt like the car was almost looking after itself too much.
Mm.
And it's like, if you had the money there, I wouldn't even consider it. And then the Ferrari and the Lamborghini were just like, yeah, we're just selling you a badge. And we've made an attempt at this car. This is, you know, this is what you get. And I didn't feel like there was a lot of thought in it. But
when it comes to the GTA versions of cars, like do you think that Aston Martin, for example, has a problem with GTA having a their cars in there and stuff like that?
No, they wouldn't. I know they wouldn't at all, because it's like publicity to them. Because if like someone loves, you know, like the race cars variant of it, and they're like, oh, you know, what's the real life version of Martin? It's, you know, it's free publicity as such. And I've always wondered why Rockstar never really like just contacted some manufacturers and like, look, do you mind if I put a, you know, a digital version of your car in this game? Because I know the likes of like Forza Motorsport. When I've been working at Aston Martin before, I know Forza Motorsport came in to do some engine sound recordings for the cars and stuff like that. And again, it's just almost like free publicity. So I don't know why there'd be many car manufacturers, other than when it was started getting down to competitiveness, is why have you made our cars weaker than their cars, kind of thing. It's you know, you're not paying their risk. So that's the only thing. Plus, I suppose these companies would start asking for royalties and stuff like that, which
Rockstar don't seem to go on the they don't seem to go on the licensing route, do they? Like the big car. I mean, you can't get away with having Gran Turismo without the official cars, but Rockstar, with everything is parodied, I guess you don't really need the official.
I would imagine that Aston Martin also doesn't want somebody to pick up a prostitute in their new supercar.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I murder that's someone like Aston Martin. Once
probably steal it, blow it up. Like,
that's
come
a really
on.
Good point, Artie. Yeah,
I suppose that's great marketing right there, boys.
Yeah. I suppose when you got to look at is what is Grand Theft Auto. I mean, it's in the name. It's
do you want your car company associated with all these bad things that you're doing in a game like that?
So I'll take back that way I've said before. I'd never thought of it that way.
All right, interesting. So. You mentioned that Forza came in for some engine sounds. Were there any other like car gaming companies, game creators?
I know. So you see how you had the Mega Factories. I remember when they came round. They were good. They were pretty cool. And I remember when the Mega Factories first came round to do the filming. Everyone was like, "Oh my god, yeah, let's try and like get in it and stuff like that." So we get on TV and things like that. And I think they were, I can't remember how long they were there. It may have been like a couple of weeks, but so for the first few days, everyone was kind of like hanging around, hoping they'd get asked to do something. I never did before the question comes. But after that, everyone kind of worked out that Mega Factory would be like, "Oh, can we film you doing this?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, sure." And it was like, "Oh, actually, can you do it exactly the same again, so we can record it from a different angle?" And after they've done it like five times, yeah, it's a bit like, "Oh, I've had enough of doing this now." Pack it in. And so after like a week or so of that, everyone was just like, "Yeah, the camera crew's in there. I'm going around the other way."
Yeah, I guess working for a company such as Aston Martin, you do get a lot of attention. Yeah. I mean, it is a world-known company.
Yeah.
From my understanding, that's also how like reality TV shows work.
Yeah,
they'll be like, I noticed you guys are having an argument about what brand of coffee you got. Can you do that again, but instead you punch him in the mouth about it?" Like, "Oh yeah, sure, that's totally fine." Like, "All right, cool, thanks."
Yeah, also, you don't watch real anymore.
Like this coffee. Yeah. Can we say it's that coffee instead of the one you
When it comes to because I'm a huge fan of the old Aston Martin, in particular the DB5. It was, and I heard this. I think I saw this story on TV actually, of a person who owned a DB5 went back to Aston Martin and got it retrofitted with all of the James Bond stuff. Like the guns came out and the roof flipped open and the you know, everything to do with the original one in Goldfinger, and obviously the guns didn't actually work or anything. Yeah. But did anything like that happen when you were there?
I never heard of anything like that.
No,
but all of the heritage cars are done from a separate site, which is Newport Pagnell in Milton Keynes. So all, or basically anything after it's out of manufacturing, like current cars as such, goes over to that. So you don't really hear much, but when we had like open days and stuff like that, they'd always bring out all the really old cars. So there's always, you know, DB5s, coming around and stuff like that, and some of the old racing cars are always really cool to see as well. Actually, you mentioned the James Bond cars. We did actually have there for a while was the actual car they used for filming, you know, that DB5. It had the rockets still in the headlamps, and the roof was off for the ejector seat and stuff like that. The actual one they used, which was pretty cool to see.
That's pretty cool. That is really cool.
Yeah,
I need to see that. I need to look up where that car is and what show it's on next or something, or where it's being displayed, and go see it. And that's like part of my childhood right there.
You could probably contact Aston Martin and make out you're interested in buying one. You say you're a big YouTube star. Don't do the research.
All my YouTube money with my 100,000 subscribers, yeah, where my videos get demonetized.
You could go down and they would give you a tour of the factory with one of the tour guides.
That would be pretty fun. That would make a good vlog, yeah. I feel.
You wouldn't be able to vlog. You could vlog from the outside, but
yeah, like, no. I'll vlog saying, "Oh, I'm just going for a tour around the Aston Martin factory," and then it cuts to the next shot. "Oh, I've just been for a tour around the Aston Martin factory. It was really good. All right, see ya."
That's about it.
Kicked out of the factory.
Bye. Yeah.
All right.
All
okay.
I can tell you is I walked in the door and then I walked out, and that's all that I did.
So let's we're coming on to the time where we would normally start our regular segments in a little while, but Nos, tell us about I'm intrigued about your eclipse story. I want to know about
a lunar phenomenon.
The eclipse happened in America, and us in the UK didn't see anything, and you know, it was a big thing. I mean, Twitter, it was all
it was nuts. Everybody's going nuts. Everybody,
the president,
lost.
Stared at it. It's because
fake news telling you not to stare at the moon or stare at the sun.
Yeah. Let's not delve into politics on this podcast.
I loved
otherwise
the,
we will get demonetized.
Hold on, before we cut off politics, I loved all the tweets that were like, oh, the solar eclipse is happening. Oh, nice. Also, climate change. Nah, fake news. Nah, I ain't about that.
Having said that, speaking of demonetization, we were expecting the last episode of the podcast to get demonetized after A to the J's comments and lewdness. And it didn't. It didn't even get demonetized. Yet the one before it with Gentleman, Mr. Nice Guy, did. So how the
content creator.
Yeah, me driving around 7 GTA tracks on a live stream and giving my thoughts on them also got demonetized and was upheld after a manual review as well. So someone actually looked at it and said, yes, this is not suitable for advertisers.
Did you watch it back?
Why?
What did you say?
Wait, really? I couldn't really bring myself to watch back an hour and a half of what I'd already done on the stream. but I don't, because the thing is, it doesn't tell you the section, you know, like content ID, if you get matched with a song, for example, you put a song in some point in your video, content ID will find it and it will say that this song has been found from 2 minutes and 1 second to 3 minutes 25 or something, and that's why you've got no monetization on the video. It doesn't tell you that for demonetization if it's not ad friendly. It just says this is not suitable for advertisers. It doesn't give you any indication of what part it was, what it was, why it's been demonetized. Nothing. You get nothing. So, and it wasn't even there was this kid. That was alright. That's only the previous episode before that was the there was this kid section where all these horrible things happened to this kid. And that was all fine, monetization-wise. Nice.
Dead kids? So,
wait, no.
Fine.
That was not fine, wasn't it? You said fine. You said Gentleman was demonetized, wasn't it?
No, Gentleman was demonetized originally, but then after the manual review, it got remonetized again.
Ah, okay.
Sorry, cool. I forgot about that bit.
How convenient, we, right after all the views.
That was just
after all the views had
tale.
Happened, of course, yeah, after all the time where money would be made off that ad that was gone. So YouTube's getting, I'm so happy we've got Twitch, to be honest.
Maybe there was this kid will blow up. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't get how they can't like give you a reason. I mean, they must understand it's your livelihoods they're messing with, and it'd just be nice for them to say, oh, our advice would be it's this. I mean, especially if you had a manual review, if someone actually sat there and watched the whole video and then couldn't even give you like one sentence.
The thing is, internally, I bet they have the same thing as the content ID. So whoever was manually reviewing that video would have seen the minute at which the automated system flagged it, and then he's watched from that minute, so you don't have to watch the whole thing. But for them to not be transparent and give that information to the creator so they know what was the problem so I don't do it again is ridiculous. And when you think some people, if they only, I mean, I couldn't live off just YouTube, even at my level now, but some people may only do YouTube, and they're a little bit bigger than me, and they've just got to the point where they can live off YouTube. They quit their job, they start YouTube because they're making enough money to support themselves, and then it turns out that half their videos get demonetized and they don't know why. Like, it's pretty bad, really, when people have their livelihoods on it. It's just... Yeah, anyway. Scumbag YouTube, indeed. So come on, Nos, Eclipse Story.
Well, there's no story. I went up to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. You never been there? Okay, place.
Ew!
It's all right.
I've never been there.
You've never been? Well, I know no one here has ever been. But anyway, so we went up there. We were near there, and we were in totality. And we watched the eclipse. Very good. We had glasses. You know, I went up there with my grandmother, my uncle, and my aunt, and a cousin, and all kinds of people. We went up
your
there.
Your cousin was, wife?
But I mean, there's really nothing to say, really. I just watched the eclipse. And it was good. It was a very good experience. I recommend it. If you're in the path of the day, get there. It was a solid 9 out of 10.
A solid 9 out of 10. That's high praise from someone who's always so negative about things.
Yeah, it was good. It was an experience. Like looking up at the sun without the glasses during totality, and seeing that was very interesting. You know, watching it through the glasses, and you watch the last little bit of sun disappear, and then you can't see anything from the glasses. And
you see the corona.
Yeah, you see, the diamond ring or whatever people want to call it.
That's what it's called. So yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
How much of it did you see, Andy T, from where you are?
About half of the sun was blocked out.
Okay.
I would say saying it was going to be like 75% of the sun was blocked out, but it was like half, I would say.
Okay.
For my staring at the sun, I would say about half, you know.
Another interesting thing was like just how different the lighting was in general as well. Like it's unlike anything else. You know, it's not like it's a cloudy day or it's dusk or anything really? Like that.
It's actually a unique time.
Yeah, it's a completely different hue, a completely different type. It's just, it was very different and really enjoyed it.
I think we had a total solar eclipse in the UK. I think it was maybe 15 years ago, something around between 10 and 15 years ago, I want to say. What?
1999
was it? Okay, so it was even longer ago than I imagined. And I didn't get to see it because it was you could only see it further down south, and I'm up in the north of the UK.
I got to see it down in the Midlands. I remember. Yeah. I remember. I would have been 8 years old at the time. Yeah, I would have been 8, and I remember having the glasses on and staring up at it, and it was cool. I was in in my grandmother's backyard. It was cool. I remember.
So I'm the only person out of all four of us who hasn't seen an eclipse. I'm so disappointed. It's something that I want to do in my life before I die. Like,
well,
I want
to. I want to travel somewhere. Fly over here, and we'll
2024.
Yeah, 2024. We'll meet.
I thought it was a lot longer than that for the US to get another one.
No, there'll be another one that comes up like through Texas and Oklahoma and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, I want to travel.
It was
somewhere
over the entire United States. That's what the last.
Right, that's why it was such a big thing, big news and stuff.
I think he said the next one is in like Chile in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, they happen all the time, but they usually happen like in the ocean or over Kazakhstan or something.
Yeah,
this one was in the United States, so people were like, "Yeah, awesome."
See, that's the thing. I want to travel somewhere where it's happening at some point during my life, just to experience it. It feels like the sort of thing that you need to experience.
That, that's something exactly a bit special. Why I went. Wasn't I mean, great. We didn't do anything else up there. We didn't have time because I rode with my grandmother. She had to go back to work on Tuesday. So we didn't have time to do anything else. We just drove up there, basically watched the eclipse and come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I didn't really want to go because, again, we were doing nothing, but it's really something that you have to experience. Yeah. So I definitely recommend it.
2024, there it is. 2024.
America eclipse road trip. I know we have one in the UK. I know we have another one in the UK. I think it's like 2026 maybe. Okay. But it's 20 something. I remember seeing that as well in the news when they were talking about it. So
the problem with the UK is the cloud coverage and just so cloudy. All right, so regular segments. Let's move on to it.
I didn't watch Choked yet. We should probably get on.
I haven't watched them yet, actually. But for those who want to ask any questions for our three regulars or Andy on his line of work, his special line of work, you can get in the Discord chat. And MB Hammer will be there to take your questions for the what do we call it? Even call that a segment?
The Choking Hazard Collins, yeah.
We've never called it that before.
Yes,
let's go to the phone bank. Relax.
The phone bank is the where we've got the
it'll
community questions segment. I don't know what it's called. Anyway,
Collins to appease my desire to be a radio DJ.
All right, okay, fine. If you want to ask any questions, get in Discord. It's all in there in the phone bank room. But for now, let's have a look at the chokes of the week.
Let's stay right on into the chokes of the week.
Choke of the week.
There you go.
The stream's got to be the best one.
The start of the stream when we were talking for 5 minutes and explaining what you were doing and everything before we'd even actually realized that I started the stream in the first place. That probably is the joke of the week, but I can't win them anymore. I'm not allowed. Last week I managed to actually get the screenshots sorted out so that you guys would be shown, but because we've now got four screens with the guest cam, I don't have that set up anymore, so it's going to be just back to me. Don't give me your stupid I'm so done with you guys. All right. So, first chuck, wall climb chuck. This is. I'm going to start playing it now. Who is this from?
The Nero Bloody Custom squirrels. From Bloody Squirrels. Bloody and the Nero squirrels. Custom Bright Nero Yellow, custom. So you don't miss him. Coming down past Integrity Way and the Arcadia Center here.
And if you're listening to this on the audio version,
and he's had issues. Major issues have happened.
Many.
You can watch this on the YouTube version of the podcast on the channel. And that was it. We didn't even get to see
the
end.
It.
Out of first place. Oh, we're on G-Fred.
Yeah, G-Fred. Back in the back of G-Fred.
Okay. So he was in 25th.
It's in the Rapid GT. Good car.
Pretty good for G-Fred, actually, the Rapid GT. The exemplar is the same.
I'm useless at G-Thread. I just give up on it. I can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it. I can't either. Don't worry.
Never ever give up on G-Thread.
I've completed them, but not satisfied.
Up into 17th, up into 16th.
Who is this?
This is Woolly Hat Taker.
Okay, what? This is not a good place to go.
Oh, going for a slight
that
jump.
Was not a good. That was not the line. That was not the line that you take up G-Thread.
No,
all those positions gone.
That was the incorrect line.
That was the incorrect line. That is true.
What a shame.
And then the final one is a
headphone
Twitch
warning.
Clip.
Headphone warning, by
headphone
the way.
Warning.
Do not play that at full volume.
Okay, I've put the volume down, so hopefully it's the right level, but I haven't watched this before. Where are we at? All right, let's play this one. I imagine it wasn't Summit that actually submitted this.
No.
Who knows?
Ah! Bro, I will block you. No, I can't believe it. I
what a mess of a human
that
being.
That was some headphone warning room.
Fuck
was...
you, crap.
Say,
I
told
you.
No!
I mean, that was a pretty good choke. Like,
yeah,
right
was,
at the end.
Was, yeah, that was a good choke. He's very good at that.
Yeah, that was an impressive choke, you gotta say. I imagine...
I was in this race, actually. This was back. This was when I was playing. This must have been like Sunday.
I imagine over 1 million followers on Twitch, Mr. Summit 1G, did not submit that to the Choking Hazard podcast himself.
No.
Somebody else probably did it for him.
We can always award him the Choking Hazard podcast joke of the week if people vote. Anyway, I'm sure.
Anyway, yeah,
it's
time for you guys to vote in the chat. Vote for which one was your favorite choke, which one you thought was the best choke. This week, and do you guys have your decisions? And obviously we're not going to mention them just yet to not influence the chat, but I mean that's the first time I've seen them.
Yeah, I definitely do.
I think I do too. Normally when we decide that quickly, it's quite unanimous.
It's unanimous, yeah.
But never mind, you know, you never know.
It was clear.
It was clear? Okay.
Non-biased either.
So you guys can vote for the choke of the week in the chat. Some good chokes, I thought, overall. Like as a whole.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad this week. Not bad.
Good to see a G-Fred choke in there. It's not. It's nice to know that it's not just me that chokes a G-Fred.
I still think the best G-Fred of all time was the Christmas 12-hour stream with you and Tony.
That was the first G-Fred that went up on the channel, I think, on YouTube, and that was like YouTube was introduced to G-Fred in one hell of a way with that one.
That set the bar so high.
It's never been matched since.
The rest of them had to go on random bits. That's how the ball was.
Some of them have made their way onto the main channel though, but normally in highlight form, never in a full G-Fred like that one.
I think your 40-minute one. That was probably one of the best ones as
that
well.
Was,
that was.
Oh my goodness! 40 minutes.
That was pure entertainment. That was so 100%
rough.
Entertainment.
It was only 40 minutes because everyone waited because they wanted to increase my misery.
Yeah, it was just like they wouldn't pull the knife out. They just wanted to twist it.
It's amazing though that the one of the most recent G-Freds was the 19-minute. Stream record I have the record for the quickest G-Fred ever done on a stream, yet I also have the record for the longest G-Fred ever done on a stream with 40 minutes. G-Fred's so good. I feel like it's a missed opportunity not putting G-Fred on the main channel.
I'm not good at G-Fred, so I hate it.
Come on, Andy T.
We just got distracted by... We have a segment going on as we speak right now.
We gotta move it on into RDT's Apple Juice Minute.
No, we need the results first. Come on,
we need the results. That's what I mean. We don't end the segment. We just keep talking.
We just gotta talk about random stuff. I know.
Quality podcast.
So that that summit video was it was submitted by somebody called Scummit1G.
Apparently.
Definitely him.
Tamei Lol made the clip, I know, on Twitch. So maybe he doesn't. If he wins, he gets the win. Summit gets the win.
So we do have a winner. So gentlemen, what were your choices?
Go on, you go first, Noss.
Headphone warning. That's my choice. Yeah. I choose headphone warning.
Yep. Same. Summit.
Yeah, I don't know where Bloody Squirrels ended up in that race. It was pretty early. And, 14th place. That's nice, but not good enough. Summit, definitely. I'm going to take that.
RDT is the man who knows the proper chokes. Me and him are on point with what needs to be a choke. I agree as well. Summit was my choice. It was a proper choke, last corner from the lead. It was one hell of a chuck.
You can see his desperation and his scrambling to try and hang on for what he's already had.
Trying to block everybody out.
Just getting hunted out of the way.
Go on then, Ebby Hammer. Was that the winner?
The results were third place was the understeer issues from Bloody Squirrels. That was choke one. Choke two was second, the G-Fred catastrophe, and Summit's choke was the winner. So well done, guys.
Congratulations to Big Head. He is by far the worst this week.
If he ever comes on the show, we can give him his award.
We can tell him in person that he's terrible and he's
well,
just
he
bad.
Does follow me on Twitter now. I could inquire. So
big man Noss.
He follows you big on boys. Twitter too, bruv. So I don't think so. Yeah, he does. I know he does.
He follows me on Twitch, but not Twitter.
Are you really? Yeah. I don't know. You might want to double check that.
Anyway, Apple Juice Minute?
Yeah?
No, I know a lot of people were upset last week that I didn't
Everybody
have
was
an
so
Apple
upset.
Juice Minute.
I was and upset.
It was hard. It was hard to handle.
It was.
Unfortunately.
No.
This week, I just don't have the heart to do it because... You know, what I'm drinking right now, I'm very proud of my heritage. All right? My ancestors.
You're breathing a little hard, by the way.
Yeah, you're breathing heavy right now.
Sorry, I was getting excited.
My ancestors, they had a hard Scrabble life, all right, in Ireland. In case you didn't know, I'm Irish, half at least, you know, as most Americans are, as they claim to be at least. But, you know, it would just be offensive if I were to say things like, oh, I bet that this beer was brewed in a pot of Lucky Charms by drunk leprechauns and it goes best with a garnish of potatoes. And, like, it's the only thing that anyone ever drinks, you know. I'd like to be respectful to my heritage and representing a good old-fashioned Guinness. Have a point of the black stuff for me, all right? McGregor bless 49-1. Let's go.
Good stuff.
I love it.
Good stuff, RDT.
RDT, and I love you.
Apple Juice Minute returns. We missed it. It was like the whiteboard all over again. You know,
I forgot to bring that. I found one, by the way. It's at work. I forgot to bring it home today.
The whiteboard's going to return. Tune in next week. Not next week, because we're not doing it next week. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Swag.
That was it. We had good viewers until we lost the whiteboard, and then the viewers took... That's it. Yeah. And in fact, we had good viewers in week one with the hat. So it's... And the old chair. We'd need to bring out all the stops.
Yeah, the hat, the old chair.
The glory days. Episode
the mojo
one.
Back.
The glory day. How long ago was that? Like 2 months ago? Something like that.
Yeah.
3 meals in one glass with the Guinness, yeah. Indeed. All right, so Bruffy's Racing Corner. Spa, the Belgian Grand Prix is this weekend.
It's coming up.
It's very difficult to talk about this now because for everybody who watches this on YouTube, like all 10 of them, they're going to have already seen it and know the results.
All 10 of them.
Yeah, because yeah, everyone watches F1.
All I know is that Ricardo needs to win. That's the
He's
only
not
thing
going
that I know.
To.
Look, maybe if we pray hard enough.
Maybe. I like Ricardo. I've got to say Ricardo is my favorite as well, but he's not going to win realistically on Spa and Monza, the two tracks to come. They're such power circuits. They're all about engine. Mercedes has the slightest edge over Ferrari, and then it's going to be everybody else behind, unfortunately.
Feels
but that's
bad.
that's how I'm predicting it. Everyone who watches this on Monday will know the results, so you can see how good the predictions are. But I'm guessing a Mercedes 1-2, Ferrari 2-3, Red Bull 5-6, and then
what?
Everybody
what?
Else.
What? You mean Ferrari 3-4, right?
Yeah, did I say 2-3? I got that. I know. Yeah. I messed that up completely.
Where's Bottas? Where is he?
Yeah, they're both finishing second place. Yeah, I think it'll be a bit of a not an awful lot of fun, this one.
I will pray for Ricardo. That I want him to win with his, like, what I wonder what kind of odds he has for gambling, like 66-1 or something like that to win, because I know that one race he won, he had like crazy odds. Like if you put a $5 bet on Ricardo, you would have gotten, you know, $5,000 or something. Saw somebody tweet about that.
Yeah some people were very lucky with that.
Speaking of betting, I went to Atlantic City last night. First time ever gambling. I made $100 playing blackjack. It's a good time.
Nice. Yeah.
So you came out $100 up on the night.
Yeah.
Good going.
It was a good time.
You didn't spend it like you didn't waste it all on more gambling. Which
no.
Did you? Yeah.
The way I look at it is, I made $100 drinking because drinks are free at a casino. So
yeah, that sounds very good. Good. Don't get into a habit of it though. It's a losing game overall.
Oh, I'm already. No. Dude, I'm
well,
going tonight.
Blackjack's a good time. Just don't go play slots. Those I can't.
Yeah, slots are the worst.
Yeah, I can't. I don't understand how anyone enjoys slot machines.
it's just a repetitive.
It's like,
you know, you just kind of get a feeling that it's like you've got to put 50 in before you'll get 5 back.
Yeah.
The odds are well stacked against you.
Yeah.
Speaking, you know, of that kind of stuff, I will be going to Vegas when I go over to the US for TwitchCon.
Hey-o.
About a month and a bit's time, so
I'll meet you there.
You better. I'm still. I'm going to say it every podcast. You know, the TwitchCon Choking Hazard podcast live.
Give me money and I will come.
Every podcast is live. What are you talking about?
That's in live in real life.
All right. Yeah, that's a little different. When's TwitchCon?
Yeah. Give RDT gas money. He'll come down.
If I have a job by then, I just applied to something. So if I have a job by then, you know.
Okay, that's we'll better see. Than what we've had before. It's working. It's working. We've gone from absolutely not, can't possibly do it, to Noss saying, if you give RDT gas money, and then RDT saying, if I have a job by then. So it's working, guys. It's working. I'm going to mention it every single podcast.
Why am I answering all these questions that Seb Rosenberg is asking? He's very detailed questions. Guess what my birthday was now, how tall I am. I answered both of them.
Yeah, that's a worry.
I should probably retract.
Let's
that.
Answer some proper questions, shall we? From the phone.
Do we have
bank.
Anybody in the phone bank to call into the show?
Looks like we got one.
We certainly do. We've got one guy. We've got a couple of write-ins, but I know you don't like them, so it's up to you whether you take them or not. But for now, we've got Mr. Coindog.
Hello, caller. You're on the Choking Hazard podcast. I hope your question is coming from a rotary phone. Who's your question for? And what's your question?
Hi again, guys. I think this is becoming a bit regular now. So my question is for Andy.
So,
and my question is, I work in the aircraft industry, and we get like extremely rich people that buy ridiculous things like private jets with saunas in and gold-plated bathrooms. I'm sure you probably came across some similar things at Aston Martin, so I wonder if you could tell us about some of these crazy things people buy.
Yeah, so Aston Martin has a division called Q, Aston Martin Q, which is their bespoke side, so where you can go along and you can request, I wouldn't say anything, but within reason, as long as it doesn't affect the whole engineering of the vehicle, you can have it done. I mean, we saw such things of people having magnets put into the headrests with little plaques for his and hers. So depending on who's driving, has his and hers, they can change at either seat. And especially with 177, I mean, the type of money you are dealing with there, and the type of people that have got that kind of money just to, you know, dish out for these cars, some of the requests would come through were interesting, but I can't really speak about more than because it's, you know, it's quite sensitive information where we came from earlier. But there was just some really interesting things, but also some really cool things. One of my favorite ones, it's on Google somewhere, was a V8 Vantage. Had it like a two-tone pearlescent paint that was almost like a chameleon paint that would it changed color as you like walk past it with a reflection, and the color of the carpets and everything that were in the car, when you saw all the parts individually with not all together, it was like, oh no, that doesn't look right. But when you saw the whole car assembled, it looked really cool. But at the same time, it'd be one of those things where you'd think like at first, oh, this is a great idea, but after 12 months you're like, oh, I'm not sure. I may have not made the right choice. I understand that in the aircraft industry as well, that the money these people have, the stuff they will request and buy, I mean, they can have anything they want. And a lot of it's almost bragging rights. It's just like, you know, you say like in the aircraft industry, oh, I've got a sauna in my jet, have you? Yeah. To its kind of thing. It's like, it's like, no, I haven't, but I want one now. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're making cars and making aircraft, especially for such rich people, that the amount of money that a normal person makes from year to year is probably like nothing to people like that.
Oh no, these are people that literally don't know what to do with their money.
Yeah.
So they decide to put his and her plaques in their car.
Just go buy some stuff. Just buy stuff.
Some shark cards. Right. I'll go broke in a minute.
I still wouldn't buy shark cards out of principle.
his and hers plaques, though, I can't even understand the need or necessity for something like that. But I guess if you've got the
money. Just buy his and hers cars at that point.
Like, oh, honey, you're driving today. Take your head plaque and put it, like, what?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to accidentally sit in the driver's seat. I might get confused. How'd you make this much money that you can't sit in the passenger seat?
Yeah. Again, it's a status thing. It's just to say, I've got it. Have you?
Yeah, exactly.
I got this company to do this for me. You know, can you get that? Have you got that kind of power? Yeah, you know, it's a power thing a lot of the time.
Yeah, what you can get a company to do for you if you've got enough money. Yeah, I suppose. Interesting. Yeah. It is a completely different world. Maybe we need to get Coin Dog on a podcast one week and talk about the crazy things he's seen with aircraft.
So.
Have a repeat of this in a different art industry. I like how it's called Gold Q Branch. The Q branch, the Q aspect of Aston Martin. I like that. I like the nod to James Bond and, with that.
Yeah, and it is an actual reference to James Bond as well. It was when it was first announced, it was always like, is there going to be, you know, some kind of special meaning behind this Q and stuff like that? Is, you know, is there a, like a hidden agenda?
Does it stand for something?
It was just, it wasn't, it was literally a reference to James Bond.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Good question, Coin Dog. Interesting.
Good question, Coin Dog.
It was.
Yeah, I was going to ask that earlier. You know, not to take it away from Coin Dog or anything. But,
I'm guessing, did Nos talk over you at that point when you were about to ask him something?
More than likely, yeah.
Probably.
More than likely.
Cool. What's
in the mailbag today?
Yeah,
what's
all right. Well, let's accept some mailbag questions, as much as I hate them.
Two questions. First one from Major Copyright. Major Copyright. There's a big sigh there. That's all right.
Yeah.
This is for
copyright
everyone.
Will know what that's about.
Okay. This is for everyone. If you could have only one motorsport in the world to watch, what would it be? It has to be an existing motorsport, and you can't make one up.
That's a cool question.
The IMSA stuff that Blade has made me watch recently. Somewhat recently, with all
that is
the,
a very good championship.
All the different GTs, I've got to say, it's very interesting. It's always the racing is always interesting.
So multi-class endurance type racing, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
rally cross would be a close second for me. Yeah. I've got to say.
Hmm.
Do they have any? You know those hovercrafts?
Oh wait, I mean NASCAR. Let me back up, NASCAR.
Do they have like hovercraft races ever? Because I would not watch that. I'm not a huge motorsport fan anyway, so like any of that. Diddy Kong racing tournaments. That's what I would watch.
I like how some of the chat are saying MCC. Good answer. I don't know. I think it would be the same as what Noss said for me. Like it would be between rallycross and multi-class endurance racing, whether it's the WEC or the IMSA stuff in the US. It's all very, very good. It's all great racing and action-packed and, you know, very fast vehicles and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
On proper tracks. But then rallycross is just so much fun. It's so much fun to watch. It's so action-packed. It's a difficult one. Those are the two standouts, I think. Those are the two best forms of motorsport at the moment. I mean, you look at Formula One and it's the highest level, but it's not fun, and it's a bit boring at times. And the same, you know, touring cars are very good. Touring cars are a lot of fun, but I think there is certainly a rallycross and endurance racing have something different to them that is a mass appeal. And I can't make up my mind between them. I think, since I'm kind of forcing myself to give you an answer, I think it would be rallycross. I think.
Yeah,
just,
I respect that.
Just because it's more accessible, it's easier to watch really quick races. Just, anyway. But, yeah, multi-class racing, endurance racing, or regular multi-class racing is fantastic too.
Yeah, I think for me would be the rallycross for modern, but just kind of thinking, if it's allowed within the question, I think my favorite, if you could only watch one forever, would be like some of the vintage Formula One and Formula Two, where it was, you know, it was really raw and there was a really high level of risk to the driver, and it would be like a case where people can come from the back all the way to win and stuff like that. Like anything could happen, not like modern Formula One where it's, you know, it's quite easily to predict.
There's some classic Formula One races.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, back in the 80s and stuff like that, 80s to 90s, you know, it was really, really entertaining where drivers were properly putting their lives at risk.
All right, interesting. Good question.
That's a good question, actually. Major Copyright. Yeah. Solid question. Very good.
Next time, phone in.
Next time, pick up the phone and call at 555 and joke.
He's having mic and Discord issues, so that's
no
why
excuse.
That was right. We did try while the podcast was going on.
Well, at least you gave it a good try.
Yeah, absolutely. Next question is from Jaji. And
one of my favourite people.
It's maybe one for more me and RDT, but we have a big fight coming up this weekend between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Do any of you guys have any thoughts, opinions, or predictions on the fight?
I can give my thoughts as a complete outsider. More to most boxing, I tend to only keep up to date on the biggest heavyweight title fights. Yeah. What was the recent one with the British guy and the old guy who...
Anthony Joshua and
Klitschko. Klitschko, the legend.
And he mentioned him earlier.
I didn't watch it, and I don't like. I don't pay to watch boxing or anything, so I'll keep up to date on, like, I don't know, I'll see who won and stuff like that, but only on the biggest fights. And when it comes to the UFC, I don't watch that at all. So, as a complete outsider, it's been fascinating to watch them sling, you know, terrible insults at each other. It's pretty ridiculous, really. And the whole concept of the whole thing of this UFC fighter going into a boxing ring and fighting one of the best boxers, you know, of all time, it is fascinating that this is even happening. Someone completely crossing sport. I mean, it's a related sport, but it's like having a Formula One driver go into a different sport. You know, like when Nico Hülkenberg did Le Mans and Alonso did in the Indy 500. It's brilliant to watch these top level guys try their hand at something different. So, you know, I'll probably try my best to watch it. I wouldn't be too bothered if I missed it, but it would be intriguing to see what happens at the very least.
I'll shake my goddamn
head. I don't have any clue. I imagine that Mayweather will win. I mean,
from what I understand, there are people who are delusional and realists, and the realists know that Mayweather is going to win, and the delusional people are hoping that McGregor wins. At least,
dude,
that was
do not go on a YouTube video. You will see McGregor is going to knock him out.
Yeah, people are getting like really delusional and triggered, it seems, over this fight. And I went to get my hair cut Saturday, I think. And of course, that's a topic. Yeah, but. Yeah, that was kind of the general consensus of the whole barbershop, was that Mayweather is by far going to win. Like, there's just, McGregor has no chance, basically, because it's just, you know, that's my opinion. I think that's what's going to happen. That'd be the safe bet. And
My prediction is McGregor in the fourth. If it goes anything longer than the fourth, then Mayweather will take it. I think I've got to go with my boy Brendan Shaw and say if it goes short it'll be McGregor with that snaking left hand. If it goes long, it'll be Mayweather.
All right. Now, the funny thing about this is that the fight is on Saturday and this comes out on YouTube on Monday, so.
Oh yeah, we'll see. Everyone's gonna know. Yeah,
everyone's gonna know, just like F1. I think it's a completely different monster, boxing to MMA.
Yes, it's very good.
My brain one like says Mayweather without a doubt, going the distance, because Conor gets kicked in the face and doesn't get knocked out. He's never been knocked out. He's only been choked out. I think the chances of him knocking Floyd out cold are slim to none, because if you look at his KOs in the UFC, only one has ever been a flatline KO, and that was Jose Aldo, who was rushing into him. Most of his KOs have been TKOs, where he follows up with punches on the ground. If he knocks Floyd down, he's got 10 seconds to recover and get back, and he's the best defensive boxer of all time.
Yeah, from what I've heard, you just can't hit him, basically.
I don't see a clean left hand that couldn't put Paulie Malignaggi away landing on Floyd Mayweather. They're going to go the distance, or Floyd's going to drag him into deep water in the later rounds and get a TKO, because the ref is going to say that he's taking too many punches, and Connor's going to freak out because he knows that he can take the punches. That's how I see that going. A controversial stoppage. By okay. Floyd Mayweather. That is my prediction.
Okay, interesting.
I think I'd say Mayweather as well. My take on this, I'm not a McGregor fan. The reason being, I like, you know, I get all the trash talk. It's a part of boxing. It's a part of the, you know, the fighting sport is the trash talk with it. The thing that bothers me is that he's kind of turned his back on UFC, and I'd have so much more respect for him if he handed back his belts and said, like, look, take these back so, you know, there's other guys to compete in it again. I want to try a, you know, different discipline now. Maybe fight a few smaller guys first to prove that he's, you know, he's worthy of the boxing world, and then go after Mayweather. Because, you know, if he loses really easily, it's going to be embarrassing for him. It's, you know,
not for his bank account. It won't be embarrassing.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's all about the money.
Yeah, it's kind of taken away from the sport, and that's the sad thing, really. It's the sport has been put in the background, and it's all just money, which is, I think, most things now. But yeah,
I don't think that's the case. I think this is a real opportunity. Because I'm going to go against what RDT said. I don't think Mayweather will ever stop McGregor, right? But I do think that McGregor will put on enough of a performance for boxing fans who are completely dismissing McGregor, seeing his 0-0 record in the square ring, and just completely dismissing him. And I hope that it makes boxing fans realize that MMA is, you know, it's a legitimate sport, it's a credible sport, and, you know, we can, you know, equally share fans between the two sports.
Yeah, but what I'm not saying that McGregor or Mayweather's going to stop McGregor. I'm saying that the ref is going to stop McGregor. Right.
Okay.
Because the onslaught of punches that is going to be taken into the eighth or ninth round, I don't care how much conditioning Connor's done, he McGregor is probably going to cut at least, he's going to cut at least 10 pounds to get to weight. Because if he didn't, then he would have to delay his return to MMA too. Because you just can't perform at the weight for boxing at Mayweather's weight, like for lightweight. If Mayweather was a UFC fighter, he'd be a flyweight or a bantamweight at his natural weight.
I mean, the other thing that you've got to take into account is if this does go long, and I know McGregor keeps saying it, is that Floyd's hands are garbage now. They really are. The state of them, he's broken his hands so many times as a fighter, and he's been in the game 20 years. His hands are going to start hurting, I'm pretty sure, with those 8-ounce gloves, man. It's going to be interesting.
As the majority of his career.
I understand that, but he's also had 2 years out of the ring, and you know what McGregor said at the start of the press tour. Do your hands hurt in the morning?
in the cold.
In the cold.
Okay, interesting. That's enough. We're talk at this point.
I mean, it is the biggest.
Everybody who's watching this already knows what happened.
It's the biggest event in combat sports, so it's understandable.
It's generated so much interest and so much money for the two guys participating in it as well. Like, it's insane. But
it's going to, without a doubt.
We'll see.
Floyd's supposed to make like 350. Connor's going to make well over 100 mil. So
we'll
not
see.
Bad for a night's work.
Not bad at all. That's true. All right. No more questions. Are we all done?
I think so.
Yeah, we're all done.
We're all done. Okay. Any final thoughts?
Well, thank you to our guest.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed being on. I got there. I was really when MB Hammer sent me the message first asking me to come on. I was having a bad day. I remember, and I was so happy when I got a message. I was like, oh yeah, that's so cool. I can't wait now, and it lifted my whole mood for that rest of the day. So
well,
yeah, I really enjoyed getting the invite to come on here.
Brilliant. I mean, we always to say that this is a community related podcast, and it's nice to have some people, and like with A to the J last week and yourself this week, who've been in the community for a long, long time, and you got some interesting things to say as well. Jesus, you know, what a job you have, and some insight that we've had into this amazing world of
it's a different
cars.
It's a different world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that was really cool.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and giving us that insight.
Thank you for having
me. No podcast next week, and this time it's not my fault. It is my fault.
I am sorry.
It's Sugar Free Noss's fault.
I'm gonna be going for a week again. We're going away again.
I'm the only professional one.
The only one, RDT, who would have thought it at the start of this podcast? RDT is the only one who's not had an issue with joining up to any of these. So, 2 weeks' time will be the next podcast. Yeah, in the meantime, enjoy your Smuggler's Run Shark Card ripoff DLC. Yeah.
Smuggler's Run comes out on Tuesday. Bye, guys.
Our cards will be doubled in price as well.
Yeah, no, gee, no, they don't do that. They just double the prices of everything that you can buy with them.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching, everybody. Everyone want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
See you later, guys.